Hallelujah. All right, quickly, let's go into God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Father, we thank you for this morning and the privilege of being sons and daughters of the Most High. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for the entrance of your word. Our eyes of understanding are enlightened, and we glean precious truths, and we walk in the light of the same, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've been looking at exploring our authority in Christ, and we're likely to put a pause today, and then next week we'll look at something else in the light of the meeting we're going to have at the end of the month of June. So we will just be putting a pause. We have not really completed this particular subject. Are you in 2 Corinthians? Put your hand there, go to Philemon 6 first. Philemon 6. Philemon has only one chapter and a sixth verse. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When we're looking at our authority in Christ, the Bible says that the communication and the participation of our faith becomes effectual. That means that a believer doesn't need more faith. A believer needs knowledge to his faith that will make the faith become effectual, which is the participation. Your participation in the things that belong to you has a lot to do with knowledge. Revelation knowledge should come to your understanding of what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. The secret of Christianity is understanding our identity in Christ. It's a secret of Christianity. Once you understand your identity in Christ, the communication of your faith becomes effectual. So the more you acknowledge, which is you have full comprehension of your identity in Christ, the better you'll be able to walk in all that is yours. It's not God doing something extra. It is you learning to acknowledge more and more all that actually belongs to you. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at Ephesians 1, that popular passage of prayer that we usually used to pray a lot in church, because if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus and you have not learned to pray the Pauline prayers, you're slowing yourself down when it comes to enjoying your benefits. So it's not a function of what God will do. It's a function of you coming to understand what he has already done. So your faith ought to become effectual over a period of time. And that period of time is determined by but how many things you've learned to acknowledge. How many truths you have been able to glean from the understanding of God's word. Look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5. The authority we have is in our union with Christ. So whatever it is that we're acknowledging has to do with Christ. So our explaining from the scriptures what it means to be in Christ is crucial to you understanding what your authority is about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, are you there? Let's read from verse 16. It says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Paul is saying the crux or the foundation of the New Testament is not Jesus as we know him in the four Gospels. And that's so important. Many people who are new Christians who are born again have never gone beyond their revelation of Christ in the four Gospels. But Christ of the four Gospels is not the individual who actually brought the church into being. Let me rephrase that. In his office as the anointed one of Israel, is not the office he now stands in presently. So when Paul says we don't know him any longer in the flesh, as of that particular point in time, he was the Messiah to Israel as a nation. He wasn't given to the whole world until he died on the cross. So Paul is calling attention to something that if you want to understand the mystery of our redemption, you need to understand that we've known Christ after the flesh. That was before. Say, but now we don't know him any longer in that light. For understanding Christ in his resurrection is a secret of the new creation. Hallelujah. And is a secret behind our authority. So it says we've known him in the flesh. But henceforth knowing him no more. Look at verse 17. Now we usually go. Verse 17. Let's go. Want to go? Therefore, if any man be in. Say any man. Say any man. That means that the factor that is important to pay attention to in that verse is in Christ. In Christ means in union with Christ. If any man is immersed into Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's not a figure of speech. That's a statement of fact. Therefore, you ought to give attention to what does it mean to be in Christ. It's so important. We've known him after the flesh. Peter preaching about Christ of the four gospels told us in Acts 13 verse 38. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's Christ of the four gospels. Was he called Christ? Yes. Is he called Christ town? Yes. But the Christ of the four gospels, the office he stood in, is not the same office he stands in now. In the four gospels, he was known as the only begotten of the Father. And that's simple and easy to understand because no one was begotten the way he was begotten. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Say amen. But in the epistles, the Bible says he became and passed through various stages of suffering in order that he might bring many sons into glory. So the Christ of the epistles is a reference to his lordship, to his mastery over death, hell, and the grave. So the office he stands in, the authority he carries, is the authority he carries on behalf of the church. Hallelujah. So when he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things means that everything that has to do with the initial or the former Adamic nature has passed away. Everything now has become what? New. Glory to God. Ephesians 1. We've looked at the scriptures before, but it's important because the Bible says the communication of your faith becomes effectual as you learn to acknowledge every good thing. That word acknowledge means full comprehension. You are abreast of the facts. The details are in your consciousness. You understand every single thing that took place. Because understanding Christ is understanding you. So a believer doesn't understand himself by studying himself. That's why if you want to really grow in the knowledge of God, you don't follow studies on temperament. You know, people do all those kind of things. For the, I'm choleric, I'm sanguine, I'm melancholic, God forbid. I'm not melancholic, I'm joyful in Christ. Hallelujah. I have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, patience, meekness. I have all those things. I'm not sanguine or choleric or melancholic. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Ephesians 1. Let's read from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of who? Of who? Who is him? You need to understand who him is. So don't mix up the preposition. Said, in knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is what? Hope of his calling. In other words, if you're a believer and you don't know the expectation that God has in calling you out of darkness into his light, your walk will not be smooth. Your experiences will not be in line with what he has prepared for you. So there are things God has prepared. He calls it hope. He calls it an expectation behind the new birth. There's something God wanted to accomplish in the new birth. So he says that you may know what is hope of his calling. He now says, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Let's read further. Look at verse 19. And what is the word? Exceeding greatness of whose power? His power to us one who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, the day you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you became a new creation. But in becoming a new creation, you believed once. You believed once into to enter into what the Bible calls exceeding greatness of his power. But believing to enter into exceeding greatness of his power doesn't mean you will walk in exceeding greatness of his power. So it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means revelation. Revelation knowledge is the tool that helps you walk in all that is yours. It is what makes your faith effectual. So a casual reading of the scriptures, a casual study of the scriptures will never bring you to that comprehension. That's what he's saying. He says you are studying and then you're praying. In other words, the words that are written should change from English to reality for you. As long as you're reading the scriptures and it's just English and Greek and Hebrew, it won't do anything for you. There are things God has done. You know, it's going to be sad. You know, the Bible says that Jesus will wipe tears away from any eyes. Have you ever wondered, why would there be tears? I mean, you already made heaven. Why would there be tears? Well, there will be tears because you will realize that there are many things you were meant to enjoy that you never enjoyed. You realize that there were things you were meant to chase that were chasing you. Why? You never walked in what belonged to you. And over there, there are no more foes. There's no more advantage to tread over, to walk over. No more scorpions or works of darkness. Hallelujah. You can't rule over your brethren. Amen. So the things you are meant to exercise authority over, because the authority in Christ is necessary. God saw it as necessary, so he gave it to you. So you won't walk in defeat all your days on the earth. He wanted you to walk in mastery. So he gave you authority in Christ Jesus. He now says, the hands of your understanding must be enlightened. How? You pray for it, concerning it. It says, there's exceeding greatness of God's power that was turned towards you on the day you became a new creation. He now begins to explain that. How do you measure that power? It says it's the same power that quickened Christ in the grave, that rose him from the dead, that caused him to ascend and sat him down. Glory to God. That's the greatness of God's power that was in demonstration. In that passage, he uses five different words to explain power. And all theologians agree there has never been in any passage of scripture that amount of power ever spoken of in any operation of God from the foundation of the earth. Not even in creating heavens and earth. The power that rose Jesus up. Because the power didn't just raise him up, the power rose you up also. Hallelujah. So I want you to imagine the kind of power God must have released, such that every single day we go out to preach and we get somebody who confess Jesus as Lord, that person experiences the same greatness of power that rose Jesus from the dead. That makes him a son. Hallelujah. So you are not a son figuratively speaking. Say, I'm a son indeed. Say, I have the spirit of the Son of God within my heart. I'm a son indeed. Hallelujah. So our identification with him is a secret to our understanding what our authority was about. Did Jesus have authority when he was upon earth? Yes. But the authority he has is even far above all that. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew's gospel in chapter 16. Jesus was asking disciples certain questions. Are you there? Let's read from verse 13. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say that I am John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Do you see that? You know, so the disciples of Jesus, they didn't become wise overnight. It took time for them to become wise. How can you see Jesus? John has been bearded, though. He has been bearded. They knew he was bearded. And they were saying, some say. Even if they are saying, should you also say it? I mean, how can you say that when you know John was bearded? And Jesus and John are two different people. John announced Jesus. They say, some say you are John the Baptist. Some even say you are even Elijah, you came back. Some say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So he said, don't let us talk about what they are saying. What about you? See what the response was. And he said unto them, verse 15, from whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed thou Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not what revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. In other words, therefore, Peter's revelation came from God. It was revealed to him. What was revealed to him? Notice he didn't say, you will be Christ. He said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He was speaking about Jesus being the incarnation of God, being the holy begotten of the Father, being the one who was anointed. So his name was called Christ. What Christ means, the anointed one and his anointing. But we still call him Christ today. But the Christ does not refer to what Peter was referring to here. Because see what Jesus said. See what he said to Peter so you understand. Let's read again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is heaven. Look at verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my... Notice, I will. Futuristic. The church wasn't built. The church didn't exist. I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. The question is, how was he going to build his church? Because it said, upon this rock, that rock is not Peter. What he was referring to as rock was a revelation that Peter gave, that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. But he now says, upon that rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What was he referring to? He was saying, when the Jesus confront the gates of hell. Very important. So you understand what I'm saying. Let me read it before them. Join me all the way to verse 21. Look at verse 21. Glory to God. Are you there? From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be what? Raised again. Which day? The third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be ye far from the Lord. This shall not be unto thee. So Peter was inspired initially by God to say, thou art Christ. Then Jesus now said, the way the church is going to come out is that I will be arrested by the elders and the scribes. I will be taken, I will be killed. On the third day, I will rise. And in rising means I will have defeated the gates of hell. Do you, if you understand, let me see your hand. And in rising, the church will be established. Because whatever I accomplish, it will be on behalf of the church. Glory to God. That's what he was saying. So when Peter initially had revelation and said, you are Christ, Son of the living God, then Jesus now shown in the process by which that will come to pass, how the church will come to be, Peter began to rebuke and say, no, you shall not. Because everything they were thinking about was a political kingdom. You take over Israel. You free us from the Roman oppressors. But Jesus told them many times, my kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. So here, Peter had a limited revelation. This is Christ in the Gospels. It was a single individual. At this time, there was no body of Christ. But the Christ of the epistles as a body. Glory to God. And you and I are members of that body. Hallelujah. So until he went to the cross and he died and he rose from the dead, the church could not come into existence. So the status and the authority he arose with was given to him at his resurrection. That's why the minute you remove resurrection from Christianity, there is no Christianity. Resurrection is everything to Christianity. Glory to God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Are you coming along this morning? I need you to get this because it will free you. Understanding this will clear up so many things. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. Let's read again from verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he did what? Raise him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, where? In the heavenlies. You see the workplace is italicized? So it's actually in the heavenlies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be one head over all things to. So notice that in verse 20 and 21, he keeps attaching whatever Christ became, listen carefully, whatever Christ accomplished, whatever God did through Christ, he keeps attaching it to the church. In other words, until you understand the connection between the resurrection of Christ and the church, you will never understand what it means to be a believer. That's what he's trying to say. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church. It's for the purpose of the church that the resurrection was necessary. It's for the existence of the church that the authority was necessary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so important. So his resurrection, it's not something you see as a singular event and you are separate from it. His resurrection is a resurrection. His exaltation is an exaltation. His sitting is your sitting. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so important that you understand that. Once you understand that, look at that verse 22, verse 21 again. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and meaning that's the name, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. Look at verse 22. And has put all things under his feet. When the Bible refers to feet, it's talking about dominion, exercising dominion. Something is under your control, under your authority. The word feet there is a figure speech that refers to something you are meant to exercise mastery over. He put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Again, he calls our attention to the body. Your head doesn't bear James and your hand is bearing Winston. Is that possible? Your head can be bearing William and then your leg is bearing Cheson. Whatever the head bears, the whole body will bear. We can't say, here comes Mr. William's head. No, here comes Mr. William. Here comes Mr. Winston. Mr. Winston is an individual. And he has members. He has parts. Say amen. So when the Bible says he has set him far above, that means in the rank, over all principality and power, is referring to the old church. And we said something last week that's very important. That to be in Christ means to be in union in such a way that you can't separate Christ and you. So whatever you see done to him is written and recorded because you are meant to see it as what was done to you. Say amen. So when the Bible says he has exalted, let's look at that verse 20 again. Let me show you something. Which he wrought in Christ when he did what? Raised him. Say, when he raised me. Say, when he raised me and set me at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities. Hallelujah. Now, when you read it that way, here's what he's saying. When the Bible says he gave him to be the head, by the reason of his resurrection, he attained a status and an authority that placed him above all forms of principalities and powers. But there's the issue. Because everyone who is a believer was born through the same process, you and I were also set at the same time. So it's not so much as Christ sitting and then you are seated alongside him. It is where he sits that you sit now. Hallelujah. So when he set him, he set you. Glory to God. When he set him, he set you. That's the mystery of our identification. And that's where our authority and rulership is. That's why when he rose in Matthew 28:18, when he says, all power is given unto me, all authority in heaven and on earth, he said, go ye therefore. He didn't say, I will give you, because when he said, all power is given, he was telling him, all power has been given to you. Or he received it as us. Say amen. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, so you understand what I'm saying. Because all through scriptures, these thoughts of our identity is the crux of every single epistle that was written, with the exception of those that are written to the ministers. The thought is repeated over and over again. And once you understand it, it becomes easier for you to appropriate what is yours. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with one unbelievers. For what fellowship as one righteousness with unrighteousness? Who is righteousness? Who is righteousness? Have you ever called yourself God's righteousness before? This is what the Bible says. It's not just saying you are righteous. It says you are righteousness. That's serious. I want you to pay attention to the phrase he's using. He's describing someone. And the person is in Christ. He now says, what fellowship does one? Righteousness with what? Unrighteousness. Look at the next phrase. What communion has light with darkness? Say, I'm light. And the other part is darkness. So he says, you are light. You are righteousness. You don't have light. You are light. See next verse. And what concord as Christ with Belial? You can't miss this one. Who is Christ here? Who is Christ here? Who is Christ here? I know you're not bold enough. Who is Christ here? He calls you Christ. This is no longer a reference to Christ in the four gospels. He's talking about the resurrected one because you rose together with him. So everyone who rose the way he rose is called Christ. You're not just a member of the body of Christ. In the eyes of the Father, you are Christ. Glory to God. And because you are Christ, you are head over all principalities and powers. You have his mastery. You have his authority. You have his ability. You have exceeding greatness of power to walk in your direction at all times. He says you are Christ. You realize why prayer and confession, acknowledging, is the only thing that can let this sink into your consciousness. I was sharing with us sometime, I think, last week, about the fact that I prayed and fasted early 90s to get free from bad dreams. and demonic operation. Nothing happened. But when I began listening to some messages and I began to pray in the spirit, instead of fasting, I wasn't fasting now. I'm not saying fasting, so fasting is important. But you can fast and miss. And after the fasting, you are more religious than you started out with. But I began to understand, all I knew was that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Whatever I was afraid of before should be afraid of him now. Like Pastor Zulu said this morning, you should get on one and say that the Son of God is awake. Let every ear hear, let every eye see, let every principality fall down. Something is shaking. You know, when Yoruba say, Aganaku, Tomibo Kijikiji, if I know Yoruba, you can understand that. It's very deep. Serious life. It means you are substantial on your own. Where you are, there's mastery. Where you live, there is authority. Where you operate, there's absolute power. That's what it means. It says you are Christ. And that's why the revelation of this is so important. The more I saw, I just noticed that without praying, the dreams changed. I just noticed that casting out devils was easy. I just noticed I was no longer afraid of forces of darkness. They were afraid of me. When I say afraid of me, I mean they were showing it. I've had madmen kneel in front of me many times. Even before I knew this much. I know you've seen madmen kneel in front of you, they are demonized. There are demons inside them. Now, naturally speaking, when you see a madman, what do? You believe God for speed. Is it not? Is it not so? You come to church with a testimony. I thank my God. 1,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 by my right hand. But they didn't come near me. But have you ever thought about the fact that you are the fear and the terror to the force of darkness? Hallelujah. You have seen death. You have come out of it. You have already defeated the principalities and powers. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. You have already overcome. Hallelujah. In your new birth. So when he says you are Christ, you are righteousness, you are light, it's no figure of speech. He's telling you about your identity. And he's saying that he accomplishes in Christ when he raised him. In raising him, therefore, Christ is a prototype. That means that whoever comes out of spiritual death, the same way Christ comes, the same authority Christ has, the same authority they all have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We've been there this morning. Are you there? Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, as one, quicken us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together where? In the heavenlies in Christ. Hallelujah. So I want you to notice what you were quickened, you were raised, you were made to sit. Because the same quality of life he has is the same quality of life that you have. So once you understand that you're raised, rising together, you're being made to sit together, is because the same quality of life he has is what you have. You understand why Hebrews, look at Hebrews 2:10 now. Look at Hebrews 2:10. See what it says in Hebrews 2:10. For he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say we are of the same stock as Jesus. His authority is my authority. His standing is my standing. Where he sits, I sit. Where he rules, I rule. Where he reigns, I reign. Hallelujah. Now, here's the interesting thing. He doesn't reign outside of you. Where he is, there's nothing to rule over. So when the Bible says he gave him to be the head of all things to the church, he is telling you he exercises that rulership and that dominion through the church. That means that though the ability is there, the authority is there, if the church doesn't use it, Jesus can't rule. But where he is, there's nothing to exercise authority over. The forces are here on the earth. So he left the body upon the earth because authority is necessary. He got the authority, invested the church with the authority. Glory to God. So whatever we are doing as him. Whatever he's doing as us. Where he sits, we sit. Where he stands, we stand. Where he rules, we rule. So his rulership is demonstrated through the church. And that's so important. Glory to God. So if you're having bad dreams, it's not more prayer you need more light. If things are pressing down at night and you wake up sitting and sweating, it's not more prayer or fasting you need, it's that you need more revelation of who you are. Because once the eyes of your understanding are in light, oh my goodness, there's a change in your disposition. There's a boldness in the command. You know, you don't try to cast out devils, open, there we go. Hope doesn't work in casting out devils. You have to know that you know that you know that you are the head over all principalities and what? Powers. Colossians 2:10. Look at Colossians 2:10. Is this in your Bible? Is this in your Bible? Let's read together. I want to go. And we are complete in him. Listen up. You'll find your fullness in him. Who is him? The head of all principality and power. What does that make you? 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 The head of all principality and power. That's what it means. That's what it means. So studying and learning to acknowledge is not for the purpose of church. It's not for the pastor. It's not for your leaders. It's for your own personal benefit. Because once you don't know, all you are meant to exercise, you won't be able to exercise or to walk in. Glory to God. You know, in this church, we don't structure leadership in such a way that you call pastor for everything. No. We teach you what to do. Because you, not the pastor, is completing him. Who is the head of all what? Principalities and power. And greater is he. Who is where? In the pastor? No, in you. Than he that's in the world. Of course, you will always meet believers who want you to do everything for them. The reason why you think I'm better at casting out devils is because you don't trust yourself. And the real issue is that you don't know I don't also trust myself too. But I trust Christ in me. Amen. You trust me because of the title pastor. But you forget that the same scriptures I'm teaching you is what I'm using also. I am complete in him. I'm God's righteousness. I'm light. I have no fellowship with the full work of darkness. I rule where he rules. I stand where he stands. I reign where he reigns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is what I've been saying and declaring that is increasing my boldness per second. But you're not saying the same thing. But inheritance belongs to all of us. Say amen. Inheritance is the same. So your pastor is not meant to exercise more authority because as like you are a son, he's a son also. He's not more a son than you are a son. Yeah, he may be more aware of truth than you are and teaches you, but for the purpose of you also standing your ground to exercise it. I was sharing like this 12 years ago and a young man took the tape and he was playing that tape when he had a car accident. The car somersaulted thrice and landed on the four tires. The only thing that I removed from the car was the tape he was playing. The title of the message was Alive, Armed, and Dangerous. What was I sharing? As he is, so are we, even in this world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, that authority is over sickness and disease. That authority is over force of darkness. That authority is having mastery in every single area of life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Some of this passage you should know by heart. If you're exercising yourself constantly in them. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Are you there? There is therefore now no. Do you know every time you open that verse of scripture? If you open it tomorrow, what will it say? Now. When you open it next year, what will it say? Now. So it's always in the now. Is your inheritance in the now? There is therefore now no condemnation. Why is he placing emphasis? For there to be condemnation against you, there has to be condemnation against Christ. Inasmuch as there's none against Christ, there can't be any against you. So he calls you, not just that you are righteous, you are righteousness. Not just that you have light, you are light. Glory to God. You're not just a member of the body of Christ. The Bible says you are Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let's read from verse 4. To whom coming, 1 Peter 2, if you're there, say amen. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. If you're reading contextually, I want to pay attention to the words he uses. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look at verse 5. You also. Say I also. So whatever I said in verse 4 is taking the cue to refer to whoever is writing to in verse 5. So what did he say in verse 4? Is chosen of God, Christ, and precious. You also, who are chosen of God, and you are precious, you are what? A living, the original one says living stone, it's not lively. The translators were afraid. Ah, Christ is the living stone. Then I also am living stone. But the Greek word is the same word. As is a living stone, you also are a living stone. As he was chosen, you also are chosen. As he was precious before the Father, you also are precious before the Father. Say amen. And it says, you are built up, glory to God, a spiritual house, an only priesthood. He's not talking about conduct. And that's where the problem is. Why do we teach living right? So that your conduct will not deceive you as your identity. That's why we teach living right. Living right is not to impress God. It's to help your consciousness walk in the truth. Hallelujah. Living right is not, it's faith that pleases God. It's a living right. The Bible says, let your light so shine. Before who? Before who? Did you say before God? No, before men. So that they may see your good works and what? Give glory to who? To your Father. So men who can't see God who is invisible will see him when they see you living the way you are meant to live. So your living right is to attract men to who? To God. But what pleases God for a believer? You live by faith. That means by faith you walk in all that God has done for you in Christ Jesus. That's what pleases God. So when you say, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, God is pleased. I am complete in him. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There is no weapon that is formed against me. Like you are pleasing the Father. Because all he has said concerning you, you are saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, we are built up a spiritual house. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. King James, please. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. He uses four adjectives for one singular purpose. He's saying, when God has predestinated that anyone who comes into Christ, this is the status and the standing that he will have. He's not talking about behaving yourself to be. He's saying once you come into it, you are made this way. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy people. You are a peculiar people. And he says you were what? Called out of darkness into his marvelous light so that he can show forth his praises. That's what he's saying. Glory to God. So predestination means that God planned that once a man gets into Christ, he becomes all this just by being in union with Christ. Then he now walks in the reality of who he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's important that we realize that every single day we acknowledge more and more, whatever you're bold to acknowledge, whatever you are bold to say, that's why there is no walk of faith without constantly declaring who you are and what you are. Your work is determined with how much are you able to say. How much are you able to what? Declare on a daily basis. So how much do you wake up every morning declaring? Do you declare what is happening or you declare what God has said concerning you? That's the secret to walking in victory. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, I've written unto you younger because you are strong. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome. Say, I have overcome. It says you are strong. The one of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. He didn't say you are going. He said you have won. He's talking about you, by your union with Christ, you have already won. Overcome. So if you stand before challenges in the light of somebody who has already overcome, what a difference there will be in the outcome. But the minute any challenge comes up, whatever your consciousness is full of is what will first show up. That's why a believer has no business saying, I am depressed. That's why a believer should avoid certain phrases. There are some phrases that people use even when they are joking that you should even avoid. I'm so broke. Because once it enters your consciousness, the word of God will not hold sway. Am I saying you should deny when you don't have money? No. I'm saying that even though you don't have any penny to your name, physically speaking, you ought to confess the riches that is yours in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am complete in Him. Who is the head of all principalities and power? I am the head of all principalities and power. Glory to God. So as you are declaring those things, you are paving way for your walk. Your authority exercising the mastery that already belongs to you. I wish you had time. I will show you throughout scriptures how everything Christ did from the cross to the throne, He kept declaring God's word. That's how He exercises authority. He told them, pull down this temple in 3 days, I'll bring it up. And they're wondering, this temple? And he was talking about himself. Everything Jesus said in hell had been spoken of by the prophets before. Everything he said, you will not leave my soul in hell. In that will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have shown me the path of life. He was quoting Psalm 16. While he was in hell, he was kept declaring God's word. Even when he was upon the earth, the greatest confession of Jesus was about who he was, what he could do, what he will accomplish, and what the Father is to him. Check two out of the four Gospels. That's all Jesus said. I and my Father are one. John 10:29. And he took up stones to stone him. How can you say you and God are the same? Then Jesus quoted more scriptures. Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. That means they read it. It was reported speech. He read it and appropriated it. Hallelujah. Do you see the difference? They read it and reported it. He read it and said, this one is me they are talking about. So until you look in and through the epistles, you say what has been said about you, you can't begin to exercise authority. That's how you exercise authority. My kind does not fail. I'm God's wisdom at work on the earth. God's ability flows mightily towards me. There's exceeding greatness. Everywhere I look, there's power. There's tremendous power. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out devils. Hallelujah. Somebody says, why are you bold to say that? In Christ. Say, I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Until you say it like that, you can't exercise it. You can't exercise it. You know, let me say this. It will be a shame if throughout your stay upon the earth, you never walk God one sick person healed. You never got to cast out any devils. Think about it. You never intervened on people's behalf. I said, because I am here, those things will no longer operate. I've been to places where I told them, those occurrences at night, those sounds that come at night, they will no longer sound. I was sleeping in your house overnight. And I didn't say, we're going to do VG between 12 and 4. Because between 1 and 2 is when those things operate. No. Some people don't even have special time for when demons operate. They say that they are more active. Why, brethren, why are you sleeping between 12 and 2? Don't you know that that is where demons are? You are full of young knowledge. He that keepeth Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He giveth his beloved sleep. And I'm his beloved. So what does a man of faith do? You go to sleep. Imagine storm was waking. Jesus was sleeping. Not casual sleep. They had to wake him. What does that mean? He said, but I told you we're going to the other side. Why are you waking me? But when he saw the way they were panicking, he said, okay. Storm, behave. And went back to bed. That's how a believer operates. You are not trying to get mastery. You are not trying to get victory. You are operating from victory. You are in victory. You are exercising what you already have. You are not hoping God will change things. Things have already changed. You are in a different company now. You are righteousness now. You are light now. You are Christ now. You have mastery now. Glory to God. You are not waiting to be fruitful. You are fruitfulness defined. You are not waiting to be rich or blessed. You are already blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. So there is no more blessing that can be added to what you already have. Your account is full. Draw from your account on a daily basis. Exercise on a daily basis. Things are not going the way you want them to go. Open your mouth wide and declare. Exercise your choice that belongs to you in Christ. Glory to God. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. Manifest the good works everywhere you go. Intervene on people's behalf. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, I get into buses when I used to take public transport. I get into buses and you need to see how tangible people's fear are. Fear is tangible in the spirit. And then I'm forgotten the experience. Twice I had the misfortune of entering the same bus with that particular brother. Somebody's, you know, I'm robed in righteousness. He's robed in fear. And whatever you are full of will come out of your mouth. Maybe because I like vehicles that speed and move fast. The driver was moving fast and I was very calm. And then this person that was sitting beside me in front seat, there's some people should not sit with. I don't know him from anywhere. So then he just called me. He had been talking, you know, telling you, talking driver, you know, we're not in a hurry to go to where we're going. Why are you moving so fast? Life is not like that. Take it easy. Everyone helps those who help themselves. You know, what was speaking? Fear. Grill fear. So, you know, because, you know, it's very difficult when you are speaking that way and the person you are sitting here is not saying anything. I'm not saying anything, I'm just looking. So he had to involve me. Brother, what do you think? Like I can see you are asking the wrong person. Brother, what do you think? The way it's going, it's not moving too fast. Remember, I was thinking, you are the one that has the problem. I am at peace. I don't understand. Fear, tangible fear. But I knew nothing was going to happen. I've been in vehicles that the brake failed more than once. I didn't remember to say Jesus. There was just peace. The peace that I give, no man can take from you. That's what Jesus said. He has given His angels charge over you. Not that He will give, He has given them charge. Now act like an ear. Say, I'm a joint here with Him. Glory to God. Act like an heir. Don't act like an outcast. Don't act like a foreigner. You are a fellow citizen. Glory to God. With the household of the saints and of the family of God. Act like you are a member of the family. Speak like you are a son of your Father. I first told you this morning, your Father is the Almighty. All means all, less none. That means there's nothing there. You can't describe might outside of Him. When you want to talk about might, He is a reference point for might. And guess what? You are the son of the Almighty. So you are Almighty Son. So where you are, there's a force field, glory to God, of supernatural energy. Your kind doesn't die in car accidents. Because of you, accidents cease. Wars come to an end. Glory to God. Angels are waiting on you night and day. They're waiting for you to open your mouth and speak like a son. You have mastery. I have mastery. Glory to God. I can't be confused. Christ has made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. I can never be confused. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have to learn to say it. So it becomes your everyday experience. You are exercising your authority. My older sister, several years ago, her first child, about the 6 months, they said that the baby was breached. She said, let's pray. And prayer is good. But I just remembered just a tiny bit of who I was. So I looked at her. I touched her. I said, child, turn. The next morning, baby, I turned position. Now, the question is this. Even when you feel the urge or the impulse, if you don't act, nothing happens. Glory to God. Moses, don't stay in your heart. When we go to heaven and bring Christ down? You know why? You are Christ. You are here. It doesn't need to come down because you are already here. Your presence is the presence of Christ in any situation. Hallelujah. You are a master over every crisis. Glory to God. Exercise it. Walk in the courses of it. Say it regularly. In every area of life, I deliberately use bad dreams because you know that one is common to a lot of people. And the challenge is that a lot of people don't even know that bad dreams are not coincidental. They don't know that they have a right to determine what happens in their dream. You just take everything that comes. you now begin to pray, prayer of unbelief. Because the dream is ruling you now. I mean, they came to act in your dream. You didn't invite them. Another director is directing actors on the stage of your life. In your dream, and you are watching. Pastor, I had a very bad dream. I'm not coming out. Ah, you're already trapped. A dream is controlling you. With all Christ accomplished, Jesus' resurrection, and you are the one who rose with him, and you are the head over principalities and powers, what do? You wake up, you laugh. Have a good time of laughter. Now introduce new actors. Saying, guess what have you people been doing? When I go to bed now, rearrange everything. The Son of God is about to sleep. Thou shalt sleep and nothing shall make you afraid. Proverbs chapter 3. You will lie down and sleep and not say nothing. Say nothing shall make you afraid. Your sleep shall be sweet. That's what the Bible says. That's your inheritance. Walk in it. Exercise it. Declare it. It's in the declaration that you're exercising the authority. So the next time there's a pain, speak to it. The next time there's an issue, challenge it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you have to use your words. It's through your words you exercise what? Mastery and authority. Don't play with words. That's why we're careful not to be involved in foolish destiny. That's why we're careful not to use profanities. That's why we're careful not to walk in strife, because we don't want anything to, so to speak, reduce our consciousness of what we carry and what we have. There's economy of speech when it comes to the things of the spirit. You have been edified as you pray in the spirit. You have been acknowledging those things on a daily basis. When it's time to release power, you know what to do. You are like David now. Greater and better than David. All David did when he came to Goliath was that he remembered. Our faced wars. There was supernatural assistance. When the lion came, there was assistance. When the bear came, it wasn't just a lion. It wasn't just one bear. They came more than once. The victory was always the same. So when he came to Goliath, he said that you'll be like one of them. For the same God that delivered is the same God that will help me now. In other words, my victory over them was no coincidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is light of my life. Of whom shall I be? You have more right to that scripture than David has. Glory to God. He was waiting for what will come. You are living in what has happened. Glory to God. So when you are saying the Lord is my light and my salvation, is literally your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? You are fear itself. Glory to God. You are fear itself. Have the kind of dreams you want to dream. Have the kind of experiences you want to have. Because Christ bought and paid for it. Lift up your hands and give me praise this morning. Let your consciousness be saturated with the light of truth of what has been accomplished for you. Walk in the victory that is yours. This is the hour, this is the time for it. Exercise mastery over sickness and disease, over situations. Never think you are dealing with flesh and blood in most cases. We will wrestle with flesh and blood, but again, principalities and powers. Exercise your mastery. Speak when you are meant to speak. Do it on a daily basis. Don't speak occasionally. Speak all the time. That's like you're meant to study all the time. You pray all the time. So when it's time to speak, you also speak all the time. You keep speaking. You keep measuring out the victory that's yours, the authority that's yours. You keep exercising it over every situation until your consciousness is full. You know the outcome of every situation because the mastery of Christ is already in you. Give him praise and glory.